First of all, I'm very happy with everything I heard from the advisory committee. I think the 4 points raised were spot on, if I may say. In relation to the role of the report, I know other panelists are also planning to address that. So all I'm going to say now is that we have two scenarios. Scenario number one, because INC, the treaty should have been agreed now in December in Busan. It wasn't. So now we hope it's going to be agreed in 5.2, which we don't know yet when it's going to take place, probably around June, July. Who knows what's going to happen? So it is going parallel. So we have two scenarios. Scenario number one, the report comes after the treaty. Scenario number two, the report comes before the treaty. Let's hope that isn't scenario number two doesn't take place, but it is a possibility. I think what Ms. Sanshin, Vasilka, used to call her Vasilka, I'm sorry, mentioned in terms of how the advisory committee can create greater awareness about the human rights impact on the full life cycle of plastics. It's something that in scenario one or two, you are going to meet. I think if we already have a text before the report comes out, I think that the advisory committee could help already associating in a lot of drawing from what Mariana was mentioning, how we probably will have a scope that refers to health and environment. We're actually referring to the right to health and the right to a health environment. So how does the treaty should be interpreted against, you know, I mean, in light of human rights standards and obligations. So I think this is going to be the role of the report, but of course we have to see where we are in the process. And right now it becomes kind of a anything could happen. In terms of, I think Ms. Devulski, you mentioned so many points, which I mean, and I'm very happy that you have mentioned the role of indigenous people's knowledge. In the discussions, this is in the INC, this is a theme that has been very well placed. Rochelle Diver, I'm sure she's going to be addressing those issues, but all I wanted to say is that indigenous people's knowledge needs to be protected. It needs to be according to the rights set out in the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples with their free, prior, informed consent. If they are going to be at scale, we also need to make sure that they are human rights impact assessments, health, environmental, because let's say we are going to, the next thing is going to be plastics made, products made of cellulose. Cellulose, if we are rushing to cut more trees, what is going to be the impact? So we need to make sure, and that's why we go back into the waste hierarchy. We want to work on a new model of reduction of production and consumption, working more on reuse, working on better designs, and there is a lot of talks about circularity, but circularity needs to be no toxic. If we continue just putting everything back in the market, that we'll have more the same or more chemicals that are harming our health, then we are not doing any good. So what it needs is really like a shift on the way we see and our relationship with this product that has become such an important, like, an important part in our lives that, right now I'm looking just here at my desk and I'm just like, okay, I can see how many products with plastics are just here. So, and then you mentioned also the situation of workers. We work a lot with waste pickers, and waste pickers, they will come to us and say, like, we don't want to live out of waste. No one wants to make their livelihood out of eating, consuming your waste. So, and they know that if the world goes into the, like, in the scenario that we hope, which we are going to have less waste, they probably will have know, they will need to find another ways of for their livelihoods. And that's where the just transition framework comes. And that's why it's so important that it's also integrated into how we can make sure that those who have been impacted by the full life cycle of plastics, including workers in petrochemicals, for example, there are measures to protect their rights and give their alternative livelihoods and opportunities. Just going back to the question on due diligence, we have submitted many papers to the INC process. One of them was on the role of business in the plastics field, looking to the guiding principles on business and human rights. You're going to see that there are many, many talks about extended producer responsibility or a tax fee. How are we going to fund this? But let's not forget that there's also the issue of legacy pollution. We can also not forget that plastics is transported by nature, trade, air, ocean. And so the question of responsibility, and I think this is also a question that the ICJ is looking broader in the context of climate change. But this also means that we cannot have voluntary measures. It has to be binding. And the business is also asking for binding measures because so far we are looking at a voluntary commitment. The Paris Agreement is based on voluntary commitments as well, and we are way off mark to reach to keep within the 1.5 degrees. So let's look at lessons learned, and also, so we can move into, we have a treaty with binding obligations based on equity, but they're to protect our right to health and our right to a healthy environment.